open our Bibles this afternoon to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and reading from verse 16 to the end of the chapter. First Corinthians 9, verse 16 to the end of the chapter. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily that, when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as unto the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. For this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Our text now, verse 27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. The title of our message this afternoon is Keeping Our Bodies Under Subjection, or a Discipline of a Christian Walk in Self-Denial. For an introduction, we see, first of all, that Jesus is our best example. He told us in many places that we ought to follow him in his life, the way he lived while being down here. So our love to him is revealed by our obedience to him, to his word. Now John, Peter, Paul, Timothy, all said similar things in that they being an example for those whom they ministered to. John mentioned this as an example of Christ in John 13 and 15. He says, "For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done unto you." And so Jesus said this. Now, you've watched the way I've lived amongst you. Now, you do the same. You do the same. Peter mentioned the example of Jesus in 1 Peter 2:21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps. Now Paul taught us that we ought to follow his manner of life as well. In 1 Corinthians 4:16, he says clearly, "Wherefore I beseech you as the followers, I beseech you, be ye followers of me." 1 Corinthians 11:1 said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." We see a pattern here. Timothy was told to be a good example for others to follow as well. For in 1 Timothy 4:12, Paul said, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." I believe that Brother Enity, as I spoke of him a lot while he was here, that is one of the reasons they don't baptize folks right away. Some of you might have heard his discussion a little bit about baptism. No, I don't think they do. You were there. Brother Doyle was there when he was speaking of that they don't baptize any children, little children. They don't baptize any children. And many of the adults that have come from other churches that have come to believe like the Bible says, some of them wait up to 2 years before they're baptized, because he says we want to make sure that they know what they're doing. Make sure that they're going to be an example of this association, of this church, because the whole area is looking at us to see what happens with us. And, of course, many of them want them to fail. You would believe how many invitations he's had to leave this sect, as they would call it, and join with them. But he says, we have the truth. How can we leave the truth? And so we should follow our Lord's example as well as the examples of other Christians. If we fail to do so, we could fall and be disobedient to God's holy word. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11 says, "Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest." In other words, our work ethic as Christians ought to be looking for the day of rest. It's coming, when he's going to take us home. "Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." In other words, some have fallen away. They couldn't stay. They couldn't stay the course. And so, do we as God's dear children have the self-control we need to continue on to the very end? I pray God give me that strength. And I'm sure all of us pray the same thing. Now, there are different points in this message this afternoon that have been dealt on in the past. This is a new message, and so it might sound familiar with some others, but it's because I'm using some of the same material, not same material, written material, but same Bible. And so the first point this afternoon I want you to look at is there's some things we have to control in our lives. And one of them is our time. The control of time. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon gives us a great recommendation. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says this, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work," now listen, "there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. In other words, we have this opportunity to do something. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We know that laziness is a sin and it's the devil's workshop. Whatever work you do, put your whole heart into it. Do the very best you can. Paul has an admonition, for those who have resorted to stealing. Some were, as we have today, thieves. Ephesians 4:28 gives the cure. Let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands a thing which is good. Why? Why? That he may have to give to them that needeth. The sure cure, the sure sign that a thief has been cured is that he takes from his own and gives to others. And does it from the heart. Paul also gives instructions to those who try to be honest workers. When you're under a contract, the hours you work must be put to good use. I have a situation, folks, that sometimes I have to be curt to my two employees in front of me where I live, George and Alan. What happens, I'll go over to work for George and Alan will come over and want to talk. Or vice versa, I'll be over George and Alan, and George want to talk. And I have to say, I'm on the clock. You have to let me work now. He won't mind. I'm going to work, you talk if you want to talk. But I'm on the clock. And I try to do that. So when you're under contract, you must do what's right. Now, I was visiting a preacher when I was on deputation work, and he was a machinist. And he was a very serious machinist. He had a shop bigger than this building and all kinds of expensive machinery in that shop. And he made all kinds of fabrications, parts and different things for different people in the area where he lived. When Sylvia and I walked through the door, he had a book. And the minute we walked in and started talking to him, he wrote the time. Time out. And when we got ready to leave, time in for that project. So that he would not cheat anybody. See what I'm saying? Some people don't think it's important, but time is important. Our testimony is definitely important when it comes to these things. People are watching us. And so, there shouldn't be any faking, putting your shoulder to the plow when you see the employer coming. You don't work hard around him and lay off when he's not there. Now, I saw that in Honduras where hired a guy to plane some lumber, and I walked out the door, and I didn't hear any more plane. And I walked back, and he's sitting. I said, "What you doing?" "Taking a break." I said, "It's not break time yet. I'm paying you to plane that lumber." And he was a church member. I said, "Get back to planing." "Okay." And so he went. But when I wasn't there, he'd lay off. Had to teach him some things. Eventually had to fire him. Eventually had to discipline him from the church. He now is a faithful church member. Hosea Maya is his name. Titus 2:9 says this, "Exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters and to please them well in all things, and not answering again. Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity. that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. In everything. In everything that we do. And so laziness is wrong. Wasting of time. Ecclesiastes 12:1 says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Psalms 90 verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. We must remember. You know, someone said something the other day. I was my daughter. And she said, if you have another 20 years. I thought, wow, that sounds terminal to me. If you have 20 more years. I thought, I'll be 82. I pray. I don't know. The Lord knows. But we're to number our days. We're to remember. Listen, we're not going to be here forever. Redeem the time. Now we have the time. Now we need to go forward. Do what we can while we have the strength to do it. And so the Bible tells us to redeem the time because the days are evil. Ephesians 5:15-17 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools. They interjected those three words. Not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. To redeem, we know, means to buy back. Make up for wasted time. Colossians 4:5 says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. In other words, when we deal with folks out in the world today, think of it. Are you going to ever see them again? Might be your last chance. It might be the last time you have with that person. And have you told them about your Savior? Have you told them? Why are we worried about those who are outside the Lord's assembly? Because He tells us to. The Lord tells us, we show concern for them because God wants us to spread the gospel to every creature. People die every day and we who never heard the story of the Lord Jesus Christ and His love for sinners. This is why it is imperative that we preach and we teach what Jesus told us to preach. We need to have a love for the lost multitudes. Do we waste our time when we preach to a lost, hell-bound sinner? No, never do we waste our time. The Bible tells us this. We're doing what God has told us to do, and it brings honor to Him every time we open our mouths to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 55:11, we all know that verse. It says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return void. It's not going to come back vacant. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Condemnation to some, salvation to others. Don't worry about that. That's God's part. Our time to worship, are we in control? Or is this world and things in control of our time to worship? We know that time, the Bible teaches us that there should be a time set aside each day for prayer and for reading of God's Word and study, devotion. We should, in fact, be prepared to pray at any given moment, all the day through. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17-18 says, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. In everything. Boy. Yes, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The other day when we were working here, Brother Ted Tweet And Brother David Miller did a job on a pipe. We thought we were doing the best of our ability. I mean, we prepared a piece of wood to support the job. We had the right wrenches. We tried to do everything. And God is my witness. We were not putting much pressure on that pipe back here when it just doubled over. And now we've got work to do. That's got to be fixed. We've got to fix that pipe. And why did I say that? What was my point? Excuse me a minute. Let me think here. In everything, give thanks. That's what it was. And so, did we say thank you, Lord? I'm afraid that my mind was not thinking thank you, Lord, for this. I thought, now we've got work to do. Thank the Lord it didn't leak. That's one good thing. But in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In our home, we should have a time each day for worship, private as well as family worship. You may say, I don't have the time to do that. But is that really true? Is that really true? Some of you might say, it is in my life. I just don't have any time. Okay, let's say you work 12 hours a day. Maybe 14. How many hours in the day are there? You do the math. Don't tell me you don't have time to read. Well, I'm dead tired. Yeah, we're all dead tired. Read when you're not tired. Read when you're not tired. Pray when you're not tired. Sleep when you're tired. How much time do we have for TV, for sports, for recreation, yard work, hunting, fishing, golfing, baseball, and on and on we can go? Preach it to me. Yes, people do just what they want to. Don't blame it on your wife. Don't blame it on your husband. We do what we want to do. People go where they want to go. They go where their money will let them go. They buy whatever their fancy is within their self-imposed limits with cash or credit. But the Bible should be number one. God should be number one. Prayer, meditation, worshiping the Lord, number one. Joshua 1, 8 and 9 says, and this is the word of the Lord, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein, when? Day and night. Day and night. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. How many Christians today believe and obey these two verses? I know what some would say, well, that's in the Old Testament. Yes. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable. That's there too. That's there too. I find no verse in Scripture that takes Joshua 1, 8, and 9 and eliminates it from the book. I don't find a verse that eliminates that from the book. But it's there for us to read and observe and to obey. How many say in their hearts, I'm going to do whatever my desire is, and I don't really care if God did say that through Joshua? You might not have the boldness to say that with your mouth, but do we in our actions? You know, it's God who should direct our time and worship, not man. If we're the ones who make up our minds where and when we are going to go somewhere. If we decide we are going to do something, almost nothing will stop us. I say almost nothing will stop us. This is the way it should be for our times of worship. That's the way it should be when we worship. It doesn't matter who just stops by. I don't care if grandma stops by or grandpa, uncle or aunt, son or daughter. It don't matter. If it's church time, that's where we're going to be. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You come along if you want to. Stay home if you want to, but we're going. It's just the way it is. I understand the hours of the work week, but God's church should always be first priority. And we're told to remember to rest one day after 6 days of work. And we're to remember to keep that day holy. You know, I heard Vernon McGee the other day, going home from church, I believe it was a couple Sundays back, and he said, you know what? I really believe we should have Saturday for the day of rest and Sunday to have church. Now, that's not what the Bible says. Now, who is he to change it? God said, 6 days shalt thou work, and one day you'll serve me. And no one has the right to change the day. Remember to keep that day holy. John 4:24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. If he said 6 days and one, that's what we ought to obey. This is the Lord's day. Now, we're not under the Jewish Sabbath, as we know. We're not under the same regulations that they were. But Hebrews 4 says we have Sabbath keeping. Time for the assembly. I believe that this verse is applicable to all of us today. Now, I know there's some differences on this verse of Hebrews 10:24-25. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, and let us consider one another. Now, think with me now. Listen to what it's saying. And let us, that's you and me, and everyone else, and let us consider one another, to provoke unto love and good works. Isn't that what it says? That's what it says. The very next verse says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner or the habit or custom of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, what does that mean? I got thinking about this because I've heard others say differently about this, but I'm going to, words have different meanings. And you look in a dictionary, you look up a word, and you're going to have three or four different ways of looking at that word. And I'm not saying the other was wrong completely either, but you can't discount other things as well. The Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown commentary explains it this way. As the manner of some is, says this about it. That the word manner, as the manner of some is. He said this, which I don't know who said this, but in the commentary says, that is habit or custom. And then continues, this gentle expression, as the manner of some is, this gentle expression proves he is not here as yet speaking of apostasy. Or some would say that this verse is talking about that it is apostasy. If we are told to consider one another, and to exhort one another frequently about the need to assemble, how could it mean the complete going away from the truth? But it must rather mean the occasional or habitual absence in the assembly. Every message the Lord gives to your pastor and the teacher was meant to be preached, I believe, to the whole assembly. I mean, we were led to be members of this assembly, were we not? Who led us to be members? The Lord did. Do we not all need all the messages from God's Word? Is that not the purpose of having an assembly and having hours to meet and to worship the Lord? Yes. Who loses when members are missing? Who loses? Who loses when people are missing? All of us do. Every single one of us lose when our church members are missing. You miss out, I miss out. You cheat yourself as well as all the other members of the assembly because your presence is valued and missed. You miss the singing. We miss your voices. You miss the prayers. You miss the most important, the teaching and preaching of God's holy word. We want everyone together to fellowship and learn together. Now I know that distance and sickness are viable and real excuses for members who live a far away. I understand that. We understand that. Brother David, we understand that. We understand that completely. But, as often as possible. Next we see the control of our talking as keeping our bodies under subjection there in 1 Corinthians 9:27. We are speaking of self-control as a child of the King. Every time we open our mouths to speak, we show what is upon our hearts. Oh, me. Sometimes I say things that I wish I could bring back, but it's too late. Once revealed, in the open it is. You know? We could suck it back in and not erase that. That'd be wonderful. We can't do it. And so we must really think before we speak. We need to weigh what we're going to say and always think before we speak. He demands of us clean words. They're the only kinds which should come out of our minds, out of our hearts. Psalms 19:14 says, "Let the words of my mouth, and the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." We should pray this every day. God help us that we would think that way. Careful words. James 1:19 says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls." I may have mentioned this example, but it grieves me, but I lived in one place in the United States here, and the church bought the ex-pastor's home. And to my surprise, the neighbor did not know that after 21 years that the owner of the house was a missionary Baptist preacher. The neighbors told me about his bad language. I also worked for a landscape company that had to deal with parts houses for heavy equipment to buy the parts. When I invited the parts man to come to our church, he knew where it was and told me about the previous preacher who also shopped there. He had the nickname of the cursing preacher. Can you imagine? During the time I was there, I lost respect for that man because of this very fact and other things that came up. God help him. God help him. God's children are saved from that kind of mind and tongue to holiness. Do you agree with me? Do you agree with me?
Job 6:24-26 says, teach me and I will hold my tongue, and cause me to understand wherein I have erred. How forcible are right words, and what doth your arguing reprove? Do ye imagine to reprove words and the speeches of one that is desperate, which are as wind? Verse 30 says, is there iniquity in my tongue? Cannot my taste discern perverse things? Oh, that we could, before our minds would permit our tongues to speak them, that we could put a stop to them. Once again, we are the children of God. We must think before we speak, weigh our words, and know that we are going to say what we're going to say is true, that it's edifying, and it's of a good report, and that we're not gossiping or breaking the commandment against bearing false witness against our neighbors. God help us. God help us. Controlled words. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, that man's religion is vain. James 1:26 says that. And so, the next point is controlling the temptations which come before us. We know that we all are faced with temptations, but we need to be praying constantly that God would shield us, God would help us, that we would put on the armor of faith to fight off the darts of Satan. Watch and pray, Matthew 26:41 says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Don't use that verse as an excuse to sin. I've heard people do that. Oh, the flesh is willing. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, and they say, oh, I can't help it, I'm going to fall. No, wait a minute. Don't use God's word and be found out a liar. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, once again, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Romans 7:18, for I know that in me, Paul says, that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Listen, fighting the flesh and the world is a lifelong endeavor. All our lives, till God takes us home, we will be fighting this old flesh. But 1 John 4:4 tells us, you're of God, little children. You know, all these verses work together. They work together. You're of God, little children. You've overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Can we fight them off? Yes, we can. If God saved you from a world of sin and corruption, he is powerful enough to keep you from going back into it. Don't let the flesh and the devil tempt you and kick you back and get messed up in this world again. Don't let him. Sometimes people beg to go back into the world, and God lets them go. They do. In their ignorance. And they fall back in that mud hole. And God just lets them get all messed up. But if they're his, he's going to reach down and pick them back up, clean them off, as he did the prodigals, on, bring them home. Problem, temptation. Temptation leads to lust, and lust to sin, which leads to death, as James 1:12-15 teaches us. This can happen even to the Christian if he is not careful. God may take the life of a straying child,
stopping the reproach upon his church, as he did with Ananias and Sapphira when they lied to the Holy Spirit, when they lied to God about the amount of the selling of the land. Power to overcome temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us, there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. And so your temptation today is not any different than other brethren that suffered the same things. No temptation taking you, but such as common to man. But if God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. But listen, don't put yourself in a place where you know you will be tempted. Yeah. You don't recommend an alcoholic to try out his faith by sending him to a bar. A person that loves to play cards, you don't send him to a billiards yard, place or whatever you call those places where they play cards and stuff. You don't send him over there to see if he's strong enough, man enough, godly enough to stay away from them. No, you go the opposite direction. God gives us the power to overcome every temptation if we just listen to His Word, seek His face in prayer. You resist the proud that gives grace to the humble. And the very last thing this afternoon is the control of our thoughts. Proverbs 23:7 clearly tells us, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. What do you read? What do you watch on TV? Are you looking at ungodly movies? Are you involved in stuff that you shouldn't be involved in? I mean, put it all together. And you say, well, I don't know why I'm not more spiritual. Well, what do you put up here? What are you watching with these eyes and listening with your ears? Question? For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Confess and forsake your unclean thoughts. 1 John 3:15 says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Love your brother. Proverbs 24:9 says, the thought of foolishness is sin. All of us can see that even some of the thoughts of the mind are sinful and they're horrible. They are. We must pray that God would help us to control our thoughts so that we would not grieve the Holy Spirit. What kind of thoughts are we supposed to have? Christ-like thoughts. It should be the norm of the Christian. Look at Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, if you would, please. Philippians chapter 2. In reading verse 5 through 11. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. See, it says, let this mind, the mind of Christ, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We need to have the mind of Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. And then, of course, virtuous thoughts is what should be our goal. Think of those things which are good, so that we would not offend God or our fellow man. And one last passage is Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Do the things that you read. Obey. And the God of peace shall be with you. Isn't that wonderful? And the God of peace shall be with you. Keeping our bodies under subjection. I pray that is our desire. Pray that we strive in this life to be more like the Savior. May God bless you with these words.